Welcome back to our class on the fruit of the Spirit. This morning we will consider another aspect or piece of the fruit called gentleness. But before we do that, let's pray and ask the Lord for his help. Father, we recognize that, Lord, you are the gentle God. Lord, you are one whom Matthew describes as gentle and lowly in heart. Lord, you sent Christ who approached Jerusalem on a donkey, humble. Father, we know that he gave up of his very life in humility and gentleness for the good of sinners. And so, Father, as we consider gentleness this morning, may you help us to be gentle people. Father, may you help us to pursue the same kind of gentleness that we see in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have begun every week by reading Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 24. So I'm going to go ahead and read that for us one more time. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So here we are in the ninth week of our Fruit of the Spirit class. We've considered so far the overall passage, Galatians 5, 16 through 24, and gave ourselves the context of what's happening here. Then we considered the work of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And then we've been walking through week by week each of these pieces of the fruit. So we've considered love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness. Last week we considered faithfulness, and this week we move finally into verse 23 to consider gentleness. But before we do that, let's play a word association game. So I'm going to say the word, and I want you to just say the first thing that comes to your mind upon hearing that word. November.
Thanksgiving.
December. Thanksgiving. Okay. Thanksgiving.
Football.
Football, turkey. Food. Okay. Job.
Suffering.
Harm, suffering, painful.
Patience.
Suffer less than anything. Go ahead.
Power.
Electricity.
Blood. Electricity.
Okay.
And I guess you can guess the last one. Gentleness.
Jesus.
Okay.
What did
you say?
Lamb.
So this is terrible. My first thought was weakness. I don't want to say
weakness.
It out loud.
No, it's okay.
All right.
It's not like
I wanted you to say weakness. I wanted you to say weakness. That's what I wanted. That's what I was hoping for. Someone would think weakness. So I want to highlight that when we think of gentleness, praise God, we think of Jesus, of the Lamb. But I think some of us are... Most of us would be tempted to think initially in some way of weakness, that gentleness is weakness. It means something like we're being easily overtaken, someone we can run roughshod over when we think of someone who is gentle. But that's not what gentleness is. That's not what I think Paul is calling a fruit of the Spirit, is someone who is weak, someone who is easily run over. So this morning we're going to start by trying to work out a definition of gentleness. So as we think about what gentleness is, what does Paul mean by gentleness in Galatians 5 verse 23? Let's look at the other usage of gentleness in Galatians. So Paul has two uses the word gentleness twice in Galatians, once in chapter 5 verse 23, and once just a few verses later in Galatians chapter 6 verse 1. Can someone read that for us? Galatians chapter 6, verse 1.
Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourself, or you may be tempted. Or you may also be tempted, sorry.
Okay. So what do we learn about gentleness from Galatians chapter 6, verse 1?
We should have a spirit of it.
Okay, so it should be a spirit of gentleness. It marks our demeanor. Yeah, we're going to consider that some more in a little bit. What else?
And that's how we should work with each other.
Yeah, so it affects our relationships, right? So gentleness is something that is an action towards others and how we relate and work with others. Anything else?
It implies carefulness, like it's deliberate.
Okay.
I imagine it can become intuitive at some point, but
sure.
The text here just kind of reminds me of being really deliberate.
Yeah, so it requires, yeah, some deliberateness, some intentionalness, right? Keep watch on yourself. There just seems to be some sort of intentionality there, sure.
Yeah, lest you be tempted.
Yeah. I would argue, right, it doesn't mean avoidance of issues, right? So we might be tempted to think the gentle person just kind of ignores, avoids. No, he or she deals with one who's caught in transgression, but how they deal with it is this use of gentleness. So gentleness doesn't avoid correction, but it changes how we address correction. We are aiming for something different. We're aiming for their good, for healing, for their benefit, rather than just merely being right or correct. Okay, so that's one area we learned about gentleness. Paul uses gentleness again in 2 Timothy chapter 2. So we're going to bounce around quite a bit this morning. Normally, I try not to do this too much, but I just think it's helpful to get an overall picture of gentleness. Chapter 2 of 2 Timothy in verses 24 to 26. Can someone read that for us?
And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will.
Okay, so what's the opposite of being gentle here? If we're not being gentle, what might we be doing?
Harsh?
Okay.
Quarrelsome,
right? He says the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. So to not correct with gentleness, I think, implies that it would likely be some act of quarrelsome or on the path to quarrelsome. All right. One more example. So Titus chapter 3. We're going to come back to 2 Timothy in a little bit. Titus chapter 3, verse 2. Verses 1 and 2 is what we're going to read. Someone read that for us.
3, 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people.
So again, here we are, we're just highlighting, right? That wasn't accidental that Paul in 2 Timothy tells Timothy not to be quarrelsome, because here he is, again, writing to Titus, telling all the church. What is Titus to remind the church? Well, to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. And then in verse 2, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle. So it seems that gentleness is in opposition to quarreling, speaking evil. So again, we've already highlighted from Galatians 6 that gentleness does not avoid confrontation, but it means confronting in a way in which you're not flexing yourself. You're not trying to demonstrate how wise or smart you are, because I think what that leads to then is quarreling. Gentleness doesn't mean avoiding speaking difficult truth. It means speaking that truth in a way that's not harsh or domineering.
The NIV says peaceable and considerate.
Considerate is a synonym of gentleness.
Right.
Yeah.
Peaceful and considerable.
Absolutely. Considerate. Yeah. So I think that's revealing to us what gentleness is, right? It's an attitude, it's an kind of action in which we are considering the good and the benefit of others. Yeah.
It's also interesting that correcting is not unkind, so kindness, not a fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah, amen.
Being done in gentleness is still being kind.
Still being kind, still being loving, yep, still being peaceable. All of that is, yeah, straight. Okay, so what we're doing right now is we're just trying to highlight different things that we're seeing about gentleness to craft a definition. So we're going to go to one more spot, Isaiah chapter 40. ultimately, what I would argue is if we want to learn about gentleness, we need to look to who God is. And that is what we're going to do in Isaiah chapter 40. So if you're unfamiliar with this portion of Isaiah, here the first 39 chapters are very heavy on the judgment of God. The Lord through Isaiah is prophesying of their judgment. And then we reach to Hezekiah in chapters 36 through 39. And we see Hezekiah first do very well and then fail. And so the Lord promises judgment. And that kind of leaves where the people are left. And then we come to Isaiah 40. And Isaiah 40 through 55 are known as the book of consolation consolation for the people. And it begins in verse 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. So God is seeking to comfort them. And he does that by revealing himself, who he is, in most of chapter 40. But we're just going to read three verses, starting in verse 9 through verse 11. Can someone read that for us of Isaiah 40?
Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young.
Amen. Thank you. So what do we see about God in this passage? Just list off some of the characteristics we see about God.
He's mighty.
He's mighty. Yep. He comes with might.
Well, he tends his flock like a shepherd.
He tends. He's not only coming with might, but he tends and is a shepherd.
Gathers them.
He gathers, carries them. Yep.
Gently leads them.
He gently leads those that are with young. I would also highlight he rules, right, in verse 10. And his arm rules for him. So he comes as mighty king. But also gentle shepherd. He comes with great authority, right? Behold your God. And yet he comes with willing care of his people and gentleness. So God is both mighty and gentle. But how does God use his might here in verses 9 through 11?
By intentionally caring for his people.
Yeah, by tending his flock, right? This proclamation of God is coming with might, his reward and his recompense is moved right into, and he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arm. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. So how does God use his might and his authority? Well, he uses it to care, to lead those who are his with gently through this life, carrying them. Tending to them. And so I think that then leads us to our definition, which I put on the handout. This is my suggestion of a definition of gentleness. Gentleness is not the absence of strength, but the using of strength in godly and life-giving ways. In other words, gentleness is leveraging the gifts, the strength, the tools we've been given for the good of others. It's leveraging what God has given us in wisdom or power or might, And using that for good, for benefit, for giving life. Any questions or comments on that definition of gentleness?
I like the definition. I got a question more.
Sure.
So, like, and I don't know if we want to solve it here, but I'm trying to stress test a little bit my understanding of gentleness, and I'm using Jesus. When he comes into the temple and they're using it for a wicked personal gain. On one account, he makes court of the whip of cords. The other one, he's turning over tables. And I'm thinking that there's got to be some type of relative urgency and time to where I think he is still being almighty with the ability to just smite everybody here in the moment. I think he's applying gentleness still, but there's a sense of urgency that he's got to drive rapid action,
mm-hmm.
perhaps because they don't know what judgment is at stake or the risk is at stake. Is that fair?
I think that's 100% fair. Yeah, so I think we can affirm, right? Well, we're going to read in just a moment. Jesus, tell us what his heart is like, gentle and lowly, Matthew 11. And just a few verses after that, or a few verses before that, he's pronouncing woes and judgments on Chorazin and other nations. And then a few verses after that, he's correcting Pharisees. And a few verses after entering Jerusalem, he's flipping tables. And, yeah, so I think all of that, we're not to understand that at one time he's being gentle and another time he's being harsh. But yeah, all of his action, right, is an action of trying to bring life and good. And he's leveraging his power in different ways. Sometimes he's just merely using correction with words and questions and trying to get them to think about it. And sometimes he's using action to flip tables or the whipping cord to maybe it's because he's more urgent there. There's reasons. But yeah, I certainly think gentleness and might are still working together as he's doing those things. Yeah.
I mean, when Jesus returns, it's not going to be what we picture as gentle.
It's not going to be what we picture as gentle. Amen.
But his whole character, when you put it all together, when he's dealing with people in particular, especially one-on-one, he's extremely not gentle.
Yeah. And I think we understand that even as God, as
he
returns, even as he returns and judges evil and delivers his people, that is still him being, he's not leaving one character aside
right.
to do those things. He's still fully this, fully mighty and gentle, fully righteous and merciful. Yeah, so those are, he's never one or the other. So in all of this is, and I think that's revealing to how we then understand gentleness. And it's very easily applicable to parents, right? Parents are not being ungentle when they're spanking their children. No, that might be the most gentle thing I could do in the sense of pursuing their good, leveraging my power and authority as their parent for their life. Might be through spanking, or it might be through timeouts. It might be through whatever that punishment is. That might be the way I'm exercising my authority. So it's the use of our authority. It's not lacking. It's using, leveraging the authority that we have for good, for life-giving ways, for healing. And so sometimes we spank or we give timeouts because we're angry and we're actually not leveraging the good for good. So we'll talk about that a little bit. So if we're going to be gentle, I want to argue we must know first the one who is gentleness himself. So we're going to consider the coming of gentleness, and we're going to look at two passages in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 11 and then Matthew 21. Matthew 11 is very well known. We spent a whole class over the summer considering this few verses and fleshing that out for us and Jesus' proclamation of what his heart is like. And then we're going to look at Matthew 21. And we're going to just highlight that the same Greek word used to describe Jesus twice. And it's one of only four times we see this Greek word, so it's a unique word. All right, so let's read verses 28 through 30 of Matthew 11. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So how does Jesus describe his heart?
Gentle
and lowly. So then it's trying to figure out, what does this mean? So I think in part it means Jesus is not trigger happy, right? He's not harsh or reactionary. He isn't easily exasperated by his people. Right, he's long-nosed. That's the description of Jesus as God is long-suffering. So he is the one who is very God and very God, yet he doesn't assert himself in such a way that's demanding on the souls of his people. He asserts his authority in a way that gives them rest. Right, so he uses his authority as the one who is God, right? He's just said, no one knows the Son except the Father. So he's already just highlighted the unique authority and position that he is in as the Son to the Father, and he uses that authority to bring rest. And so that's, I think, revealing of what it means for Jesus to be gentle. It's a using of our authority to bring about good rest, healing. And so this rest, though, is not a rest from all labors or work. This is a rest from having to strive to earn God's grace. He gives it to us. He welcomes us to himself. He welcomes those who are burdened. He welcomes those who are weary. And he says he will not break the bruised reed or quench the little flame. So Jesus' gentleness is seen in how he uses his authority for our rest. So then let's go to Matthew 21, verse 5. And that word, the Greek word there for gentle, is used here again in the citation of Zechariah 9:9 in verse 5 of Matthew 21. Can someone read that for us? Verse 5 of Matthew 21.
Verse 5?
Mm-hmm.
Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.
And he says gentle.
Yes. So it could be translated as gentle or meekly. So it's the same word that Jesus says when in the Beatitudes of Matthew 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Yeah.
This is that same word. So it's used, Jesus uses it to say, blessed are the meek. Then he uses it to say, I am meek or gentle and lowly in heart. And then it's used of him as he's described, as he enters into Jerusalem as humble and mounted on donkey. So this same word is translated three different ways, but that reveals to us this meaning, right? It's giving us a more full understanding. To be gentle is to be humble. It's not to think less of yourself, but to think of yourself less, right? It's to use the authority. The king is coming, and how is he coming? He's coming not to exalt himself. He's coming to humble himself. He's coming to die on a cross for our sins. The one who had all authority and power did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So one author said, no gentleness, no gospel. Gentleness, the fact that we have a gentle Savior, is at the heart of our gospel. And so if we're going to be gentle, we must first receive the gentleness of our Savior. We must first look to him in faith and trust, and knowing that he came humble and mounted on a donkey, but he came as king. So he came not with no authority, but with all authority, but using that authority for our life. Any questions or comments on that, on the coming of gentleness?
I'm just thinking, these that use the word, this connection of weakness with gentleness,
yeah,
is really nonsensical. It really is the opposite. It's with, when one has infinite power to express anything less than that, that is extreme gentleness.
Yeah.
And I think Stoics might kind of misinterpret it to be like, you know, in human strength, kind of hold back whatever, like discipline.
Right.
But I think what the text is showing us here is that God being all mightiful, any level of less than his ultimate wrath against us on any moment is like the extreme expression of gentleness. And weakness should be like the opposite. It should be, like, they don't even cohere together.
No.
Think about it.
No. I would argue where we see gentleness the most is where we see God pouring out all of his wrath, just not on us.
That's
He's
right.
Leveraging all of his wrath and pouring it out on his son. That is gentleness.
That's
it's
right.
Not the absence of wrath or justice or strength. It's how he's using it and where he's pouring it. He's pouring it out on his son. Okay. So what does that then look like? What does it look like for us to act gently in our lives, right? So the action of gentleness here, our third point. So we're going to consider three arenas of our lives where I think, one, we probably struggle to be gentle, and where the Bible is clear on the need for gentleness. Okay. So the three arenas, let me just give you those to you now. Those are the blanks on your handout. Our words, that's the first arena. our wisdom, that's the second arena, and then our walk, that's the third arena. So our words, our wisdom, and our walk. These are areas where I found this week that the Bible calls us to be gentle. And so we're going to kind of consider both what it looks like to be gentle and then ways in which we struggle to be gentle in each of these arenas of our lives. So let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 2. This is Moses giving kind of his last speech to the people of God. He's singing a song, and he's ended that speech, and now he's going to sing a song to all the people. And in verse 2, we read this of Deuteronomy 32, verse 2. May my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, like gentle rain upon the tender grass and like showers upon the earth. So Moses uses the illustration of our words, or his words or teaching, falling like gentle rain. So what happens to plants when a violent, hard downpour comes?
It hurts them.
Yeah, right? Rain is necessary for plants, but rain coming in the wrong kind of way can actually hurt plants, right? Water is necessary. When it was frozen and heavy, it broke all of our bushes in the front of our yard. They were cracked and breaking, and that's because when rain comes in the wrong kind of way, it actually doesn't do the good that it's supposed to do. And so what Moses is desiring his teaching not to just drop as rain, as violent downpour. No, he wants it to drop as gentle rain, right? Because that gentle rain brings up the grass. It brings life. And the same is true of our words. We see this in Proverbs chapter 15. So that's Proverbs chapter 15, where we kind of get a similar idea. 15, we're going to look at two verses, verse 1 and verse 4. Can someone read verses 1 and 4 of Proverbs 15?
Gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit.
Okay, so two verses there. I think both of those words, soft, in the ESV it translates verse 1 as a soft answer. I think it could be very easily translated as a gentle answer. And then we see in verse 4, the ESV translated as a gentle tongue or a healing tongue. But
a soothing
tongue, I think, is a similar idea. So what's the point? The point is gentle words bring life, right? That's verse 4. A gentle tongue is a tree of life. Gentle words bring life. But harsh, perverse, twisted, crooked words bring destruction. So the idea of verse 4 is according to the ESV Study Bible, that a gentle tongue used for crooked reasons brings damage. So that perverseness, that twistedness of verse 4 is not necessarily a different kind of word, but using what you would call gentle words for a crooked reason that will ultimately still bring destruction. So what are our examples of words that are not gentle, or situations where our words can do harm? Words where we might be tempted to not be gentle in our words. What are some situations or ways we might be tempted to not be gentle?
I think when we get frustrated.
We get angry, right? Yeah. That
we're frustrated, we often react rather than thinking about what we're saying.
Yeah, that's right. So we call Jesus, when Jesus is not gentle, when we said Jesus is gentle, oof, Jesus is gentle, that means he's not reactionary, right? He doesn't just he's not quick triggered, right? But we often are quick triggered. Someone gets angry with us, and our response is not gentleness, it's let me fire back at you, right? It's verse 1 of chapter 15. And what that only ends up doing is it ends up just becoming like a snowball effect, and that becomes more and more. What else? What other situations? Maybe not be tempted to use gentle words. Be gentle.
When we drive. So if, when we think about gentle words, it might be a stretch, but I'm thinking about thought as well.
Yeah, amen.
And you know, somebody cuts you off, and you got a thought that comes to your mind about that person just cut you off.
Yep.
And there's a way to still look at that and use your thoughts for to not speak evil report, to speak something that still is constructive.
Yep.
I think like with my kids, or even sometimes at work, like if I've told someone something, or if I feel like I've been gentle once, it's like, all right, I've been gentle, now you get harsh.
Yep.
Instead of like continuing to respond in gentleness.
Yeah.
Even our expectations that we
make. Yeah. So when we have a hope or desire for something and it doesn't get met, we might be tempted to use harsh words. Yeah, so I would encourage you to consider, in how you speak to others, to your spouse, to your children, co-workers, are you bringing life to them, right? So that's really the question, right? It's not necessarily about the words we use. We want to speak truth. We want to communicate truth. But we can communicate truth in a harsh way or in a gentle way, in a way that's merely only stirring up or bringing breaking of the spirit, or in a way that's going to bring life and produce good in the others who are around us. And so, are your words like a gentle rain or a violent downpour as you think about how you speak on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis? And this is particular when we think about how we correct, right? So the two examples we read earlier, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and Galatians chapter 6, we saw, right, really one area of our words that's really hard to be gentle in is in how we correct others. So when we correct others, it's especially necessary to correct with gentleness. Whether it's we're correcting opponents, right, those who do not believe what we believe or are against us in some way, or we're correcting others in this body, brothers and sisters. So that's both, we see both of those in 2 Timothy 2 and in Galatians chapter 6. Any thoughts about how we use our words gently? Okay. All right, so let's go to James chapter 3 and consider our wisdom. Our wisdom ought to be marked by gentleness. And we're going to see a different kind of aspect of gentleness here in James chapter 3. A slight one that we see, I think, in a place like Philippians chapter 4 as well. But we're just going to highlight James 3, verses 17 and 18. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So here we are, our wisdom. That's what James is talking about, this wisdom from above. This is how we're approaching situations in the world, how we're thinking through life, right? This ought to be marked by gentleness. So what does this mean? What does it mean for our wisdom to be marked by gentleness?
Well, NIV did that one as considerate.
Okay, so it looks like being considerate of others.
I think that's just true when you deal with other people, is try to see where they're coming from, to be considerate of what they're thinking.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That helps to not incite the wrong
thoughts. The anger, that's right. I think I want to highlight here, it's open to reason, right? So gentleness is not lack of conviction, but it's conviction held in such a way where we're willing to reason with other people, where we're open to correction, where we're willing to think through something that we don't have it all figured out. So it's not a lack of conviction, it's using the convictions, holding our convictions in such a way that we're pursuing peace and reasonableness, and we're full of mercy and impartiality and sincere.
I think the kind of contrasts that in this opening verses of chapter 4.
Yes, yeah.
He's talking about this, basically the opposite of what he just said.
Yeah, that's right. So rather than pursuing peace and being gentle in how we think through life, right, we can be selfish, angry, right, are quarreling and causing fights. It's that you desire and do not have. So even those unmet expectations, unmet desires, are in opposition to, often leading us to lacking gentleness. All right, well, let me highlight one more way, our walk. So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 highlight, when Paul says, be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit, he talks about that being walking in a worthy manner. One of those ways we walk in a worthy manner is by being gentle. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 tells us to put on, to clothe ourselves with gentleness. All right, so what those two passages are doing, I think, is highlighting that all of our life, right, not just our words, not just our thoughts, our wisdom, right, all of our life, all of our walk as Christians, all to be marked by a spirit of, a demeanor of gentleness. So what are ways our demeanor may not be gentle? What does a non-gentle demeanor look like?
Some people are just angry.
Okay, someone who's just generally harsh and angry.
Yeah, you just feel it in their being. Yeah. They're just not happy.
They enter into a room and you
they're
feel it.
Happy.
Yeah, sure.
Someone who is like very prideful in their interactions with others and not wanting to, like you were saying, like hear another side or consider other ways.
That's good. Yeah, Paul will say in Philippians chapter 4, talking as he calls us to rejoice. Sorry, there we go. Philippians chapter 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. This is verse 4. Again, I would say rejoice. Then verse 5, let your reasonableness, or the ESV puts a mark there, or gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Right, so there is a reasonable, so gentleness, that's able to be evident as you deal with others, that ought to mark us. And that is an aspect of gentleness. So when Paul says that the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, I think he's talking about things like this, something of our reasonableness and how we deal with others ought to be evident to those around us. Paul will say to the Thessalonians, have we not been gentle like a nursing mother with you, right? So then, there is a demeanor, a spirit in which he has dealt gently with those around him. Any other questions?
Just one more thought.
Or thoughts,
last,
yeah.
Piece for our walk. I think there's also the idea of proportionality that can impact our walk with gentleness.
Sure.
Just even my vocation is a vital vocation.
That's correct.
And there's an expectation that even sanctioned violence is proportional and it's measured.
Mm.
It's not is, I'll make a stretch and say, designed to be as gentle as it can be to get
sure.
a certain effect still, as opposed to using all of your power and might to bear on a situation.
Mm.
It's not necessarily prudent there. So I think we, as an individual, even in times where threatened by others,
mm-hmm.
say 1v1, if you have to resort to some type of means to defend or protect yourself,
mm-hmm.
you can do it in a way that still exercises some level of restraint and consideration.
Amen. Yep. That's good.
Sorry, my mind just kind of goes extreme.
No, appreciate it.
I love the beginning of Galatians there, that section starting verse 13. Brothers and sisters, you're called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in love your neighbor as yourself.
Yep.
If you bite and devour each other, watch out, because you will destroy each other.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was a good way to, it's just a good thought at the beginning. Walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh.
Yeah.
So,
I would argue that is what this gentleness ought to look like.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
absolutely.
I would argue that too. I just thought that was a really good...
it's a really helpful way.
Right in the same section, and then it talks about the acts of the flesh, but then it comes back to what the fruit of the Spirit is.
Yep.
You know, so the whole thought there is to love your neighbors yourself, you know.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I would just highlight these three categories shows why we need gentle leaders. So 1 Timothy 3, Paul will say that a qualification of those who serve as elders is one who is not violent, but gentle. So, yeah, as your leaders, our prayer is that we would be gentle in our words, that gentleness would be evident in our wisdom and our walk. But that, yeah, we need help as we pursue this kind of gentleness. So that's where we're going to end, a pursuit of gentleness. We are already over time, but let me just highlight a few ways we can pursue gentleness together. I think one of the first ways is to find someone who will speak the truth in love to you. So really, I think a lack of gentleness is one of the most difficult things to see in ourselves. We might think we're being gentle, but actually be coming off as harsh and brute in our force. And so we need to have others who we trust in our lives who can say, actually, that wasn't a gentle response when that person asked you that or said that. And so you need to find someone who will speak that truth in love to you, who you can consider together the arenas of your life where you may or may not be gentle. And then, yeah, I think the final two are ones we've said or hinted at in all of these fruit of the Spirit, because it is a work of the Spirit and not of ourselves, right? We need to give ourselves to meditating, right, on key texts of Scripture and praying that God would make us gentle. These are, yeah, there's no special method to becoming more gentle. Gentle is not another law in which you say, oh, if I'm gentle, I'm going to have more success in my life. No, gentleness is a fruit produced by the Spirit of God. And so, yeah, if you find yourself struggling to be gentle, then go read Proverbs 15 and meditate on 15 verse 1 and verse 4. Pray. Ask for God's help. He delights to give what he promises is a fruit of his Spirit. He delights to give gentleness. Any other questions or thoughts on pursuing gentleness?
I just wanted to say, I really appreciate you mentioning the word not to be reactionary. I think that really sums everything up.
Yeah.
To react.
Yeah.
It's a good one. And also, I just wanted to say that, as you said, I agree, God may grant them the dependence.
Yeah.
You can't force it.
Yeah.
You just don't give them the understanding.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. You can't brute force repentance. Yeah. That's good. All right. So whatever came to your mind when you thought of gentleness, make it your aim this week to think about how the Bible speaks of gentleness and to pursue that. Let's pray. Father, it is a joy to consider how you deal gently with us. Father, we are sinners deserving of your wrath, but you took your wrath and you poured it out on your Son so that we might know life. Father, help us to be gentle with others. Father, to be gentle in our words, in our wisdom, in our walk. Father, to pursue it, to lean on others and their help. Father, help us to be marked in our pursuing and correcting of others. Father, by gentleness, to correct as you correct us. Father, and may we be marked as a church by gentleness. We pray in Jesus' name.